Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
The events that we've experienced in the world in the last days has been tragic, to say the least. We're all well aware of what took place in Charlottesville and the taking of a young life there by individuals who are bent on hatred. But also, we now look at what happened in Barcelona and how individuals believing that they're standing for God have mowed down innocent people and brought pain to dozens and dozens of lives. I know the question that arises in my soul at times like these is there something that I can actually do that could make a difference? Certainly what we talked about the last time is important, looking within yourself, seeing if there's any level of prejudice or racism or rejection in your own heart and asking God to deal with that. Also, the willingness to not pay back evil for evil. These are all very, very important pieces. But I still ask the question, is there something we can do? Obviously, we can always pray. I believe that prayer matters and that even when we're not sure of the effect of prayer, something always happens when God's people turn to Him in prayer, when we humble ourselves before God and then lift up our concerns before Him. Somehow it raises up to Him as this pleasant incense that then integrates us with His power and His authority, and things can begin to happen. So I think that at the very least, what you could do is to pray. Pray by yourself, pray with other people, ask for the Lord to come and intervene in these circumstances and bring to bear His power and His angels to keep this world from spinning out of control in the hatred that finds its source in the evil one. But I think there's some other things that we need to really think about in these days that could impact us greatly if we really want to make a difference. Just yesterday, I was listening to an interview of an ex-neo-Nazi and skinhead. His name is Christian Picciolini. Picciolini, I think that's the way you'd pronounce his name. And he said that at 14 years old, he was groomed and then recruited by neo-Nazis. He then joined with them and spent 8 years following their creed, embracing their hatred, spewing their vitriol. But he left the neo-Nazis. And he was asked in this interview, what is it that caused you to leave? And he said, it was the love and acceptance of the very people I was rejecting and hating that awakened me to what is truth. Do you hear that? The love and acceptance of the very people he was hating is what awakened him to the truth. Boy, that sounds so much like the gospel of the kingdom. That God came into this world to spread love, to bring redemption, to see lives changed and transformed with the belief that all people matter and that there is reason in every person's heart to have hope for God's embrace. That's why Jesus came. That's why He gave His life on Calvary. And one of the things that we can do is both live out this love and share this love in very specific ways. I am convinced that every day we have an opportunity to either share the love of God or speak to the love of God. It's just so often we're preoccupied in our own worlds and we don't see the opportunity right in front of us. Well, I'm challenging you, as I challenge myself, in this world that seems to be spinning out of control in hatred, may we ask the Holy Spirit to begin to quicken us that we take advantage of every opportunity we have to extend love and acceptance and dignity to others and to share the message of the kingdom that for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. This is what Christians are to be doing anyhow. We are to be out there talking about Christ and sharing this wonderful message, this good news that all people can be forgiven and redeemed and that grace is ours in abundance. That's our business. But many of us don't do that. And there are times when we simply say, well, we let our lives speak. But sometimes our lives aren't really articulating the best of the gospel. So I'm challenging you here. If you want to make a difference, let the words of love and the actions of love be what we give back at a time when so many, many others are speaking about rejection and hate. Now, there was something else about the interview that really hit me deeply. The interview asked Christian Picciolini, what was it that attracted you to the neo-Nazi cause and to skinheads? And it was very interesting that he said that most of the people that are radicalized, whether they're radicalized in white supremacy, neo-Nazi movements, radicalized in these terroristic moves that are happening around the globe today, he said they are being reached because of three needs in those individuals' lives. And he said, there's something about the people that have embraced these movements that gives them insight into how to appeal to these three things. And then once they're hooked, individuals can be radicalized. And he said these are the three factors that cause a person to be radicalized into some extreme position of hatred and rejection. He said, individuals that do not know who they are, that they have no sense of personal identity. Number two, individuals that have no supportive community. And number three, individuals that cannot find a purpose. Identity, community, purpose. These are three things that are foundational to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we're well aware that the world is constantly communicating to us that in ourselves we're not enough, that we don't measure up, and that we need to do all that we can to achieve and acquire so that our deepest longings can be met. That's an identity issue. But when there are individuals that can't in any way measure up or find a way to embrace self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence, then often this is low-hanging fruit for the evil one to come and pick in order to bring destruction into their lives. Jesus Christ came, it says in Galatians 4, in order that individuals that turn to Christ can know that they are a child of God. That becomes the foundation of their identity. That's what gives them, if you will, a place at the table in order to eat of all those things that would bring satisfaction to the deepest longings of their lives. We get those in Christ not because we've measured up or because we do good or because we behave appropriately, but we receive those in Christ as gifts because once we accept Jesus, we are children of God. Isn't that what individuals need that are out there struggling with identity insecurity? They need to know that by coming to Christ, their identity becomes child of God, and then all the precious promises of God become theirs. That's what Paul said in several places, not alone in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 20, when he says, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And then I'm adding, for those who have put their faith in Christ. All the promises of God, because our identity becomes secure as God's people. You see, while the evil one is using a strategy to appeal to people's identity insecurity, we as Christians should be appealing also to the issue of identity, letting people know who they can be in Christ, that they're valuable to God, that God sees within them dignity, that he came to cleanse them of all the garbage that is weighing them down in order that their identity can blossom into the wonderful human being that God always intended them to be. That's at the heart of the gospel message. That's something we should be talking about and speaking about and preaching about, that Christ crossed the universe so that all of us who feel so insecure can find that we are standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ as God's children. So many people are out there trying to find their identity, putting their identity in things that obviously they're going to lose. Their achievements, their finances, their titles, their jobs, their degrees. And yet the security that comes in Christ is that every one of us who has said, oh, Jesus, bring me into your heart, is suddenly transformed deep within inside so that we're identified as children of God. And then it all opens for us, the treasures of the kingdom. This is what we need to be sharing. That God wants people to know that they matter to him. that they're important to him, that they have worth and value. So many people that are not Christians think that we as Christians are here to beat people down as a way of trying to get them to measure up. And that is so contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ came to extend a divine hand, and he asked us to let him take us into his heart. And there we become rooted in Christ, transformed into children of God. And so can we make a difference? I think we can, even if it's one person at a time. Love them with the love that God has for them, regardless of how they're coming at us, and also then share the good news of the gospel of Christ, that in them they can be found. Their identity can be secure. And this man, Christian Piccolini, went on to say that they try to radicalize individuals that they find are isolated and alone. Everything about the Christian ministry, Christian message is about community. Our God is a community, three in one. He then formed a nation of people. He then has sent his son to raise up followers who are called the ecclesia, the community of Christ. Jesus went on and said that to the degree that we love one another, we will be known as his. And Paul used body metaphor that said we are all like different pieces of a body that God brings together in order that we can then serve Christ and serve this world. We're connected, and yet we live in a world, even as Christians, so isolated with one another. When in fact, we need to learn to stand shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart. People are desperate to belong. They so anticipate rejection that they already position themselves to be unwanted, unaccepted, not included. And yet we have this opportunity, again, to share the message of Jesus Christ, to talk about the wonder of what it means to be a Christian and to bring them into communities where individuals get to share who they are with dignity and honor. Last night, I had the opportunity to sit on my porch with a number of seminary students that came out simply to talk about the kingdom. And while the topic was great, the richness of being one in Christ was even greater. Laughing, sharing, praying, crying, but not as an isolated individual, as people of value. We should be looking for individuals that have strayed into loneliness and isolation, and we should go out of our way to reach out to them, to invite them in, to do so without judgment, without expectation, except the opportunity to share with them the wonderful gospel of God's redeeming, transforming love, to stay away from the knee-jerk reaction of highlighting what is wrong with people, and instead receive them with dignity and honor. Apparently, that's what changed Christian Piccolini's life. Identity, community. These are words that come right out of the Bible. And here we find a man that's saying it's identity and community that hate mongers are using to recruit other people. And yet we know that we have a secure message of identity and a place of community because of who we are in Christ. And we need to be sharing that message, and we need to be reaching out to bring people into that family in order that they will not be isolated and vulnerable to the wiles of the evil one. Piccolini then went on and he said that another factor that comes to play is the issue of purpose. That when there's someone out there wandering, they have no purpose, they don't belong, they have no community, that they're very vulnerable, and that these groups begin to groom them, begin to tell them how important they would be to them, bring them in, tell them they'll protect them, they'll care for them. The next thing you know, they're embracing this ideology. Well, we know that Jesus Christ has come, and that all of his children, He provides for them a purpose. I love the fact that Paul talks about spiritual gifts and that God gives them to all his children in order that we can be part of sharing this message and advancing the kingdom so that individuals' lives will be forever transformed. There is no such thing as a follower of Christ without purpose. Absolutely, that's an inherent contradiction. Everyone who chooses to follow Christ has a purpose in that following, and that purpose is to extend this message. Jesus said after the resurrection that as the Father sent him, so he sends his followers. And we know that the followers sent him to reach out to a broken world, to bring healing, to bring redemption. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing too. And if you're a listener, just don't take this on as shame, as guilt, as an opportunity that God will this day, tomorrow, the day after, give you opportunities to reach out to those that are isolated and broken, to share the message of God's love, the character of God's love, and then invite them into what one author calls a purpose-driven life. It's almost as if the evil one knows what it is that people most need and then reaches in there to hook them and take them across the current of God's love into a place that is ultimately destructive. But we can't sit back and do nothing. We have this opportunity before us. Surely today, if you would simply pray, ask the Lord to bring somebody to mind that seems isolated, that seems alone. Reach out to them. Look at them with dignity. Let them know they have value. Talk to them about the gospel of love and the transforming power of Jesus Christ that comes into hearts and enables people to experience the wonder of being a child of God. Now, I have many aspects of my life. I've been a seminary professor, certainly a father. I've been an employee, an employer. There's all kinds of titles and descriptions that I can add that would in some way speak to the uniqueness of my life. But the foundation of my life, the identity of my life, is that I am a child of God. And that's the identity of your life. And it's none of these other things that are true of me that give me a place at the table of the Lord. But because I am his child, because I've been brought into his heart, I have a place at the table. That place at the table tells me that I matter, that my identity is secure, that I'm part of a family, and that I have a purpose. And that it's a purpose that brings light into this world. You can do something. You can make a difference. In the smallest way, plant that seed. I am absolutely convinced that if you and if I would open our hearts and say, God, let me see the opportunities in front of you, you will see them. I will see them immediately. And then may I have the courage to reach out, to step out in faith and take advantage of that opportunity. You never know the life you may be saving. There are some individuals that were being rejected by a man named Christian Picciolini. But rather than taking in his rejection, apparently they loved him. They accepted him. They valued him. And they showed him a power greater than darkness. And it changed his life forever. Who knows? That story may yet to be told if you and I are willing to step out in faith. I pray that God blesses you. I pray that his face shines upon you. If you're interested in any of the things that we may be doing at Healing Care, go to our website, healingcare.org. We have some seminars coming up, some new resources that are available, some new videos that are out there. I hope you find some help and value in those. May God bless you. You're important to God and you're important to me.